Let's go to the Bibles then, the book of Romans. Thank you for doing that. I know most of you or some of you really enjoy being in the southern hemisphere there. But I miss us being this close. And I just do. All right. Well, let me get up. We'll get to our prayer request here in a little bit. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we are. And Proverbs chapter 8 is in a great contrast to what you had in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. In those chapters, you had an emphasis on being careful, and some of those chapters were more than others, about being around evil men and wayward women. And as a matter of fact, it really had more to do with, from Solomon's standpoint, instructing his son about being watch out. And chapter 7 just continues that same. Chapter 5, we heard it. Chapter 6, we had some excellent principles. And it didn't all deal with that. But then chapter 7 goes into it again because it is a major thing for people to watch out, men and women, to watch out their lifestyles and the way they dress, the way they converse with individuals. And by the way, if you have young granddaughters, grandsons, or children that you can help if they're still in the learning process, learning from the negative is often a good way to study the positive as well. Of saying to someone who is growing up, and you say, now here's what the Bible says about how not to dress, or how to have the conversations that you have that could lead someone to wrong opinions or wrong thoughts. And so that's a good thing to kind of keep in mind on that in Proverbs chapter 7. But now we come to Proverbs chapter 8, and there's four subjects, and from my opinion, in chapter number 8. Now, we'll probably have the men do it again. I think they're enjoying it, and I know the rest of us are. And we have quite a few not here tonight. But I've heard over and over that study with the men doing teaching last Wednesday night was no exception. They were just excited as they could be about it afterwards. And so I'm eager to continue it. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to go into the chapter of chapter 8, and I'm going to highlight a number of different things, and then just leave it open for those who are going to participate next Wednesday night in helping us to realize and get into depth more. So I'm going to kind of hop, skip, and jump different themes, different subjects, but then the men who want to participate in it can drill down, is the old expression, can drill down, get a little deeper, or a little more deeply into maybe what I'll just kind of give a summary or just a little bit about, but they can get down more deeply into what's going on in that text, okay? So let me give you four subjects that are all dealing four different aspects of the theme of wisdom. Wisdom, and it's exciting. I enjoyed doing my study of it. Four subjects of wisdom and understanding. Four subjects of wisdom and understanding. And we're not going to look at this verse by verse. This is just kind of a broad view, an overview of what we're going to look at. Number one is the history of wisdom. Now, this is not in the order that they are in the chapter. This is just the order I put it in. The history of wisdom. It's really an exciting study in this text. We'll look at it just a little bit tonight. Not long, but just enough to kind of get the idea. Oh boy, the history of wisdom. It does document its history. Number two, the ministry of wisdom. So you have the history of wisdom. You have the ministry of wisdom. Number three, you have the subjects of which it's talking about wisdom in these particular subjects. So you have the subjects of wisdom. And then number four, you have the benefits of wisdom. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, as I mentioned just a minute ago, to varying degrees, you had the benefits of walking not after evil men or after ungodly women. Okay? Well, here you have the benefits of wisdom and understanding, and what a blessing that will be, in my opinion. Again, just another sub-subject or another subject to this matter of wisdom and understanding is the way that it appeared to me is the purpose of wisdom as you see it here. There's one key verse that we're going to look at that's going to kind of bring all of this into just a spotlight. And that is the purpose of wisdom, at least from my reading, my study of it, is to give hope. Now, wisdom and understanding have other purposes as declared throughout the Word of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, okay? So you're in a setting in which you're needing God's wisdom, and so God says to come and ask him without wavering, okay? But here in this particular chapter, because of one particular verse, and you may come up with something completely different, that's fine. But it just struck me this way, is the purpose of wisdom here is to give hope. Let me see if I'm getting ahead of myself here. Yes, I am. Okay, so I was going to mention something, but I don't want to get ahead of it. All right? So the key verse, though, and the purpose of wisdom, I have another passage of Scripture for that, but the key verse I'd like us to look at, let's just go ahead and do that, and that is verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. Now, verse 13, he had already talked about wisdom a number of times through the chapter already, but in verse number 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate." So think about chapters 15, 16, and 17. So now he's coming here to this chapter. He's saying the fear of the Lord is to hate those things. Evil, pride, arrogancy, evil way, froward mouth. He says these I hate. But now look at verse number 14. This is looking at it from God's perspective. "Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. Counsel is mine. And sound wisdom. Understanding, I have strength." Understanding, I have strength. When Solomon wrote this, and he says, "Counsel is mine," I think you could take it strictly from God himself, or the application of that as provided to Solomon. Solomon writes, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding," and you see the word in italics, "am," you could literally read it, "I have," or "I am understanding," and as he says here, "I have strength." So when we look at that, counsel is mine. In other words, that's personal. Mine is a possessive pronoun. That means I have it, I own it. It's a part of me, okay? Counsel is mine. In other words, the applications of understanding, and generally that's what counsel is. It is the understanding of how to help someone who's in a setting or to have it to my own self. I counsel my own heart. Okay? So when you have that, he says, "Counsel is mine and in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." Now let's look at verse numbers 32 through 36. Actually, and let me go back. Let me go back to, I'm going to go, just kind of go through because I want to end up with this fourth section. But let's look at it a little bit, all right? Let's notice in the first several verses, he mentions all about the ministry of wisdom. "Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice?" Think about ministry. It's wanting to help. There's wisdom that's wanting to help you to know the right thing at the right time, at the right place, and for the right reason to do what it is you're doing. Number two, what about wisdom? Another part of the ministry. "She standeth in the top of the high places." By the way, in the places of the paths. Whether you're ascending or whether you're traversing, you're just going every which way. If you're going from Jerusalem and you're going down to Samaria, the pathway goes like this. Some of you have been there. Or the roadway, not the pathway, but the roadway. There's terracing in the farmland. They don't have the flat farmland where you would have a John Deere or a Massey Ferguson or something and cultivating. They don't have that. but the land is terraced. And so they grow what they can grow on the side of the hill, and then they'll have a flat spot where the machinery, I guess, or the ox cart or whatever it is, that they can pile the produce or whatever it is on there. Okay? So when he says here, he says, she standeth in the top of the high places. Go as high as you can, and wisdom is there. By the way, in the places of the paths, no matter where you are, God's wisdom is available. She crieth at the gates. Those are normally the places of leadership. At the entry of the city, those kinds of gates as well. Oftentimes, the people who were in leadership would sit at the gates. And that's why sometimes it says they're in the gates, and then other times it's talking about they're at the gates as you enter in. At the coming of the doors. All right, now, verse number 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now, the reason I entitled this, the subject here, or the purpose of wisdom is to provide hope, is found, and again, you may come up with another purpose, and that's absolutely fine. But as I came to verse number 5, it just stood out to me. It just really did. And it had the echoes all around it of what I'd already read in chapter number 8. Notice what it says. O ye simple. He's addressing them. He's not rebuking them. He is not saying, stay out of the way, get out of the way, so the wise can find their pathways without any interference. He says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. The word simple, and I'm not going to pronounce the word right, but it's naivety, I think, is something like, some person is naive. What does naive mean? They don't understand. It's just, it goes past them. We have students at Ambassador that I teach counseling, and some of them have just grown up in very sheltered, very, very sheltered homes. And I had to be careful. Now, part of counseling is helping them learn how to counsel in settings. And there's some settings that I can help them to kind of stretch themselves a little bit, and in the exposures, because it's a required course and it's an upper level. They have to be a senior. I think it's a senior, maybe a junior, but I think seniors primarily to take the class. I've had a student or two to come up to me and say, Brother Bray, I grew up in a really sheltered home, and I don't know what that term means. And so I just kind of gently kind of introduce them to what that term means. Now, that hadn't happened a lot. I try to be very careful, especially with undergraduate. In graduate counseling, we go a little further. But here's the point, is naivety or someone is naive. Now, notice what he is saying. He is saying in verse number 5, I love this, O ye simple, you just don't understand. He says, understand wisdom. He's not fussing at them. He's saying mature. Do you believe there's probably some simple Christians? Maybe they've been simple for 15 years as far as wisdom. They've just never matured in the Lord. Perhaps there's those who've just gotten saved. And there's things that we talk about, and we understand backsliding. We understand sanctification. We understand growing in the Lord. But to them, that's a foreign concept. And when we talk about different things, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, they're thinking cars, and they're thinking airplanes, they're thinking houses, and they're thinking carpet. Those are things of the world. Well, they are naive. They are not understanding how the devil works. There's a world of Christians, a world of Christians. Not everybody in the world, but just a lot of them that believe that everything that comes into their minds originate with their will. In fact, probably here tonight. And we're a smaller crowd than we are a lot of times. But even in this group of Christians, I dare say that there are Christians here that every thought that comes into your mind, you're assuming that that thought originated with your will. And when that thought comes in, you immediately feel guilty for even thinking something like that. Okay? Not understanding that your flesh has access to your mind. And we've talked about it before, and so I'll not go into a lot of detail in it, but that's what I'm talking about, is if someone doesn't understand the battle of the flesh and the spirit, and my brother and sister in here, and I had a really good discussion the other day. I had the privilege of being in their home, and we discussed the battle of the flesh and the spirit from Romans 7 and some other places that a lot of Christians don't understand that battle, and so they live in discouragement thinking, why would I think such wicked things? Or why would I dream such bad things? Why would I must be a heathen? I must be remembering things that has happened before, and why do I remember those things? I must still want them. There must be part of my subconscious that's bringing that up. And I'm tempted to digress into subconsciousness and so forth. But we'll not do that tonight. All right. I almost bit on that lure, but I didn't. All right. Are you proud of me? Never mind. All right. So I'm working on doing that. But here's my point, is that there are Christians who just don't understand. Doesn't mean they're wicked. Doesn't mean they don't love Jesus. It just means they have not matured in that particular area. Now, over in another area, they may have grown further and faster than you or for me. But in this particular area, they've just not been exposed to it, and maybe a good thing that they haven't. But he says, O ye simple, note what it says, understand wisdom. He goes to the next step. Now, simple could just be somebody who's naive. Or they may be simple-minded because they've just not grown. Okay, it could be either one of those. But now he turns up the volume a little bit. Verse number 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. The word fool there, and you can look it up. I just did in blue letter. I didn't go into the Hebrew study guides and so forth, but it has the idea of, fool has the idea of arrogant, open-minded, simpleton, stupid. Okay? Stupid not in a pejorative term or a term that's saying you're stupid. It's not that. It's stupidity has an understanding of without knowledge and without. And so he is saying here, wait a minute. You're foolish in the way that you're going about living. It may be foolish, like someone who is walking at night and they're walking down the road and they're walking with dark colored clothing on, assuming that a car's not going to come alongside and hit them in the dead of night. Okay? That would be a foolish thing to do, right? Right. So he is saying here, O ye foolish, what does he say? Be ye of an understanding. Now, notice that that's verse number 5. He'd already addressed, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top high places, by the way, in the paths. She crieth in the gates and the entry, the coming of the doors. Oh, unto you, O men, I call, my voice is to the sons of men. And now he talks about the simple ones and the foolish ones. And then what does he do after that? This is just kind of sandwiched in there. And maybe some Swiss cheese and a little ham or some roast beef. But you put some good homemade fresh bread straight out of the bread maker or the oven or whatever it is. And we're not talking about stuff we're talking about good fresh bread. And it's, oh boy, you just can't wait to bite into it. Somebody that wants to know truth. Somebody that wants to love the Lord. They just don't know how. And what he's doing here is he's saying, listen, you're foolish in this. And you're just really simple-minded in this. And he's not fussing at them. He's not making fun of them. He says there's hope. That's why I called the theme of this chapter is one of hope. Because the rest of the chapter goes into the history of wisdom. So that we'll understand that if there's this kind of history and wisdom, then wisdom has innate in it, in its own very being, wisdom has a foundation to it. It has credibility to it. And so if you're someone who's foolish in the way you talk, there's a way to correct it. Foolish in the way that you have your priorities, there's a way to correct it. Foolish in the way that you dress, there's a way to correct it. Foolish in the way of relationships, there's a way to correct it. That's why I said this is a chapter of hope. At least it just, this is wonderful. Because even though I may have walked a wrong direction for a while, maybe a long while, and I'm going in this direction, and maybe sincerely so, I just don't know it's foolish. And the Lord says, there's a better way, Randy. There's a wise way. There's a way of understanding so that you're not always getting bruised, not always getting in trouble in one way or another. I was at the nursing home with one of our ladies, one of our widows today, and she's got some kind of a condition where her skin is just really peeling. And she just looked at me. She said, Pastor, I don't know why my skin's peeling off like it is. And she had some on her cheek and all. So she has a condition, but doesn't know the source of it, doesn't know the reason. And I'm sure they're working on that. But my point here is that each of us sometimes are foolish, are we not? And there are subjects that all of us, each of us individually, we need the Lord's wisdom. And that's why this chapter, just like an arrow to the heart, but a good arrow, like the, is it Cupid? Okay. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about Cupid. I don't know. But anyway, Cupid's flying around, going thoink, and the love arrow hits, right? Is that the way it's supposed to be? All right. And it did to me, honey. It did. I mean, it just hit me all over the place. All right. But it wasn't piercing. It was loving. All right. I better just keep going here. All right. Let's see. Hope. All right. So let's just kind of walk our way through it. And I gave it those four things: the history of wisdom, the ministry of wisdom, the subjects, and the benefits. So I'm going to kind of hop, skip, and jump, and then we're going to go to our prayer time. All right? So if you'll follow with me, I'm going to start first of all with, I'm going to start with the ministries of wisdom. All right? So we've already read 1-4. Those are all the various ministries of wisdom. Then you come over to verse 17, fruit of wisdom. I love them that love me. If you love God's wisdom, and his wisdom is being personified here, he says, I love them that love me. If you don't love wisdom, you like just the status quo. You don't want anybody to mess with you. Don't preach to me about, don't talk to me about having a better attitude. Maybe it's a friend with a friend. And you just love the way you are. You're satisfied. Okay? Years and years ago, I think I've told you this, I'm not proud of it, but years and years ago as a young person, I exaggerated about everything, just about everything. And it finally dawned on me, I mean, it just took a long while, that if I know something in advance and I know that it's wrong, and I won't go into it all, but if I know it in advance, then it's not an exaggeration, it's a lie. If I know it up front and I know it's not, and I just say it for whatever reason, and I was so skilled at it, I didn't have to even think about it. I'm going to exaggerate. If you asked me how many hot dogs I ate, and I knew I ate two, I'd say four. I mean, just that fast. If you asked me how long did it take me to swim across whatever it was, I'd say, oh, whatever it is, and I knew better than that. Or in gymnastics, how long were you able to hold this particular pose? Well, I was able to hold that for a while, and I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And God began to deal with me about it, all right? And that's what he's saying. If I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me, will deal with that after a while. Number 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So in the beginning of the way, this is the ministry of wisdom. He doesn't wait until, you know, the Bible says, knock and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And you know the idea there, and I apologize for this, I fiddle with my keys all the time. I just do. And I shouldn't. I may have told you in one of my classes, one of the last classes, I was fiddling with my keys. I use that as an illustration. And someone on the front row said, we know you do. I said, you hear my keys? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, he's just got good hearing. And I said, how many of you hear me fiddle with my... Everybody in the classroom, raise their hand. These are seniors. How long have you been hearing me do that? 4 years. So, sorry about that. I got completely... It's got a little gizmo that I can undo it and all my keys fall off. And I was fiddling with my keys and it did that. All right, so I'm getting my hand out of my pocket. All right, so here we go. The Lord... And verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. That's the ministry of wisdom. He doesn't wait until we're two-thirds and we're going, oh, no, I have tried. No, if you're looking for God's wisdom, he says, if any of you lack it, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, we'll look at some other texts later on. Some of you men will do it. Number 23, I was set up from everlasting. Think of that. Wisdom was set up from everlasting. Okay, and we'll deal with the rest of that. We'll deal with the rest of that as far as the ministry of wisdom. Now let's look at the history of wisdom. We really just started it here. Look at it. And it's going to go into detail. This is how long wisdom has been around. Let's look at it. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Before the Lord started even creating the earth, wisdom was there. I was set up. And again, this is a personification. That's taking wisdom and making it like a person who could speak. All right? Wisdom says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever. That's an old English way of saying before the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no mountains abounding with water, I was there. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. They say that's in the atmosphere. When he had prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, so that everything is balanced. Isn't that something? The oceans are deep enough to offset the weight in other places. All right. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree. Verse number 30. Then I was by him as one brought up, and as I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Notice 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Oh my, what a joy. What a joy to know the history of wisdom. Now, it's good to do that as a study, and some of you men perhaps will do that. But think about the simple. Think about the foolish that wakes up and realizes God's not in this. God's not in this. So at that moment in time when they realize they've been foolish or simple concerning whatever the subject is, and they want better, they want to know God's will, they want to be successful, they want to understand, they want to have wisdom. At that moment in time, what would we call it? It would be called the beginning of wisdom in that area of their lives. But when you look at all that it says here about the history of wisdom, oh, I was there when? I was there before. I was with him when? Then the beginning from a... Now, I don't know about you, but for me, to try to understand the eternality of God, I go back as my little feeble mind can go, and I run out of mind space. I can't fathom the eternality of God. Or if I go into the eternity future, and I think Randy Bray is going to continue to exist for eternity, I've never known anything personally that lasted for an eternity. Okay? The earth is only so how old. But I wasn't there when it was created. And the things that I've known have either through entropy or something else have fallen apart or passed away or whatever. But when I think about wisdom says, when everything that you have consciousness about, Randy, everything, when it was first inaugurated, when it began, I was already in existence. Wisdom was. So even though I may be stepping off the threshold of ignorance and foolishness and simplicity and desiring to step into wisdom, it's intimidating for me because it's new. It's brand new. It's a beginning to me. But as I'm stepping into it, wisdom is saying in my heart, don't worry, I've known all about this. Before there ever was a world, before there was dust in the atmosphere, before there was the depths, before the boundaries of the waters, the Bible speaks of the oceans being kept in their garments or in their boundaries. Wisdom says, I was there. And that's what spoke to me about the adventures of faith that Randy Bray is to pursue. and that my sister is to pursue, my brother, my sister is to pursue, is that I don't have to worry about that. All I have to do is make certain that my feet are going in the direction where I already know is God's will. And the next step that I take, I want it to be in the direction of understanding and wisdom. So that when I'm mid-step and there's voices in my mind and in my heart that say, you're gonna step off and you're gonna fail, you're just gonna fall flatly on your face, and it's gonna just turn upside down, and nothing good's gonna come out of that, and it's gonna. But there's that wisdom, that bulwark that's there, and it's going to hold you until your foot lands successfully and you find, oh, yes, I understand that now. It was a mystery, the Bible would call it. It was a mystery until God revealed it to me. A mystery whom to love. A mystery of how to work. A mystery of why did that happen. A mystery of. But when I seek God's will according to His word, He's going to provide that wisdom. He already promised to. He said, let him ask in faith. There's the key. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea driven of the wind and tossed. He says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Dear friend, you and I can have hope in the next adventure God has for you, the adventure of faith. And it's not the kind of adventure where you're necessarily going, all right, I get to go skydiving, all right? I get to go bungee jumping, I get to go. No, it's not that kind of adventure. It's the adventure if we walk by faith and not by sight. And when the Lord says, at your age, I'm calling you to the mission field. Or I'm calling you to befriend someone who is not easy to love. Or I'm calling you to get between the devil and someone else. And they're trying their best to do what's right, and yet the devil is slapping them around. And I'm calling you to get right in the way. And let's see, can I borrow you, Brother Nels? And let's say that let's say it's between these two guys here, and let's say that Brother Nels represents who's bigger here? No, I don't know. All right. One of these guys represents the direction the devil's trying to take him. Let's say it's Brother Nels here, just because I'm facing Brother Jesse. And I realize that he's trying to get him into discouragement or trying to get him into whatever it is, and they're friends or whatever. And let's just say it's not necessarily even an individual. It may be a habit. It may be a whatever it is, a hobby or whatever it is, a relationship. And you realize, Jesse doesn't realize, and he's being drawn to it because his flesh is made that way. His passions are made that way. And maybe God's calling me to get in between them, or calling Jesse to get in between me and that individual or that thing or whatever it is. That would be an adventure of faith. Not necessarily an adventure you look for. Oh, I get to go on an adventure today. And yet where you're going to need the wisdom from God. I don't know if any of that made sense to you. But chapter 8 after chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 all dealt with walking the wrong path and looking out the window at the wrong place and being in the wrong place and having a desire and the kinds of conversations that just bring you in and giving into those things, it leads to death and corruption and lots of problems. Oh. But like being out in the desert of Arizona and a cloud comes over and there's a nice wind and breeze and oh, it's like a drink of cool water. And when you are reading through this and seeing all of these things, and there's so many things to learn as we have in 5, 6, and 7, but you come across here, and he's saying, when you're simple, when you're foolish, history has wisdom, or wisdom has history, you can trust it. It's been wise every single time. And the wisdom that I want to provide to you, it's wherever you are. If you're way up there, if you're down here, and you're just making your way through life, there's wisdom. There's wisdom. But it's your choice as to what you're going to do with it. Okay? All right. That's my joy of being in Proverbs chapter 8. And so, gentlemen, How many of you want to take a passage of Scripture? Now, again, I just hop, skipped, and jumped through it. And how many of you want to take a passage of Scripture and go for it? And there may be some that are not here that want to do that as well. And so they may be studying like crazy, chapter 7. Okay, got some back there as well. All right. So at least three or four men, and that'll be great. All right.